The Dragon We Read is brought to you by the Armadillo Podcasting Club. Hello there, welcome to the Dragon We Read. We are talking about season 2 of the Wheel of Time TV show. I am Jeff Lake.
I'm Alice Sullivan.
And I'm Micah Sparkman.
And today we're talking about episode 7 of season 2. We're going to talk about it for a little bit, then we're going to watch it and come back to it. So, what's our vibe check here?
So, I recall last time we were in, we were firmly in Egwene's torture porn arc, which is, honestly, done really well, which means it was horrible, right? Like, yeah, it was really unpleasant.
It's like all of a sudden they turn into competent filmmakers.
But it's one part of
the part we agreed we hated the most about the books.
Yeah. So that there's that. The Rand's sex dungeon arc was much shorter and less sexy than I would have hoped, yeah, right?
Every experience I've had in a sex dungeon fits that.
I mean, we saw some CGs, so.
That's true. I think she could have spent a little bit more time like with the whips and feathers before she let him off the wheel. That's all.
And the amazing hat.
Okay.
She looked great. And it was that one bit where he goes into his dream and he's strapped to the sex wheel in sex world and she's looking at him from her sex throne.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So this show, they always try and sex everything up, right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Like Rand and Egwene are boning, But why not here? This is where it's appropriate.
This is the one place, right?
It would actually make sense if Rand and Celine got busy in dreams or whatever as part of her seduction, right?
Well, the last time they got busy, she got killed by Moraine.
Oh, well, yeah.
And the time before that, he burned down her house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so maybe she's just taking it slow.
He's like, yeah, let's do this. She's like, well, let's just reset a little bit, right?
Yeah, let's just set the mood a bit. Yeah.
Remember the time I died when you were in me? That was weird. Because you're ex-girlfriend or mom or something. It's not clear. She came up and killed me.
Yeah, Lanfear's probably not entirely straight on the Moraine relationship, right? So
yes.
Did you have a previously on?
We haven't been doing that for these, right?
Yeah. No, I was just curious.
No.
I feel like this 2 episodes ago was the best episode of the show yet, and this most recent one was the worst episode of the show yet. So I don't know what we're getting into here.
I was thinking about this, right? Okay, here's what I hope happens. I hope they do a Perrin's wife on Moraine's family. So there's a Trolloc attack, right? And Moraine's okay, fighting the Trolloc. She turns around, swings her axe, kills her sister. And then also the Cape of the Sandwiches.
Right, yeah, and there's another Trolloc. And she swings axe again. And it goes right through the plate of sandwiches.
And then we can just move on.
One piece of the sandwich chopped off by the axe flies into her mouth. So, and she's like, it's so good.
It's the best sandwich I've ever had. And then from there, Maureen can just move on from that arc and be done. It'll serve as fire.
Well, I guess I'll just never think about them again.
Now, where's Lan?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I hope Lan catches up. I hope Moraine gets healed from her stillings. I think that's weird.
Yep. Yeah, me too.
And I hope the Shan Shan storyline gets wrapped up quick.
Oh, and I also hope that Min stops working for the Dark One.
Yes. I don't like that. No, sir.
That would be cool if Min stopped doing that.
Yeah.
It's weird to like actors so much and just hate everything about what you see on them.
That's it. Well, I think that's what's interesting about this is I do think we've seen some really great performances.
Yes.
And I think that we've seen some people who are really doing a great job with characters in certain ways. It's just the writing is kind of rough, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's a writing problem. The costumes are cool. The settings are cool. The actors are, it's the writing, right? So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. If only there was some sort of source material it was based on that could help them make it better.
I wish someone had come along just decades ago and just written the whole thing out for him,
Thousands and thousands of pages. Dialogue, everything.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never know. Okay, so when we return, we will have watched episode 7 of season 2 of The Wheel of Time.
How about we watch Hamilton?
And we're back. We just watched episode 7 of season 2 of The Wheel of Time. I think that in about 72 hours, I will not remember a single thing that happened in that episode.
Yeah. I found it a little confusing, actually. I felt like there was a lot of jumping around that happened in this episode.
Yeah, a lot of it didn't seem to make much sense or connect to anything else.
This was the episode of double crossing the double crossers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, what happened? We get some back flashbacks for Moraine and Swan.
Yeah.
Making smoochies and getting the dragon prophecy, the things that they get them going.
And then Swan was like, oh, you're a muggle now, so I'm sorry.
I'm just not into that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess she figured that means Moraine's off the mission or something, right?
Yeah. So there's this big conflict between Moraine and Swan. Swan wants to keep Rand in a box and use him as a weapon, and Moraine wants ... It's a little unclear.
Yeah.
Her motivation.
But she's teaming up with Lanfear.
Yeah, and in the
end, they're going into the ways.
Teams up with Lanfear. That's not.
Anyway.
And so also Rand is captured by Swan because Lan caught him for Swan, and then Swan was going to keep him captive. So Rand asked Lanfear for help. Went back to her sex world and asked her for help on the sex throne, and she really liked it.
Yeah. and so Lanfear's like, yeah, I'm going to help you escape, and then blows up Kyrian.
That's the plan we were talking while the show was going on. This is one of our D&D plans.
Yeah.
Let's just blow
like,
some shit
we're going to set everything on fire, and then when people go to deal with the fire, we'll blow something else up.
Step 2, ... Step 3, we go up to the mission objective.
And Ishmael gives Matt some ayahuasca or something.
What was that?
I don't know. And so he like starts thinking about his mom, and then he is his mom.
It was creepy. We had a whole arc because we thought that was how Matt was going to get his like battle memories. Is again okay? They're just going to have Ishmael give Matt ayahuasca.
Yeah,
more of a metaphorical interdimensional journey instead of
real internet. From the Age of Legends or whatever. It'll give him past life memories. No, it just gives him a super bad trip about his mom.
Yeah.
And then Ishmael's like, didn't that suck? Now maybe you should join the dark side. And I guess Min's joined Ishmael, Matt's joined Ishmael, and now Rand and Lan and Moraine are joining Lanfear. Where are we going with this? I'm a little confused.
I guess the bad guys aren't bad? I don't know. I don't know where that's going
to
end up.
Also, it's convenient that Lanfear teleported Matt to Falm so he could be there for the next plot point, right?
that was my first thought. Was like, they didn't really have a good story reason for Matt to be in Falm, so Lanfear shows up.
like literally ambushes him in the village, conks his head against the wall, and he wakes up in Falm, okay? All right, cool.
And then he was in Falm.
Yeah.
Also, we saw Egwene bonding with Rena a little bit.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, they have to, right?
Yeah, nothing much happened except Egwene continued to show defiance to Rena.
Yeah.
Good. And, Elaine and Nynaeve are doing their plan. They caught themselves a Suldam and put the collar on her.
Mm-hmm. Elaine, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though they let Elaine abracaface punch her instead of Nynaeve.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Not right.
They had such an opportunity for an abracaface punch. Nynaeve was like, hey, look at this collar thing, and then puts the collar on her. And then Elaine comes in and hits her in the face. It's just come on.
Punching people in the face is 90s thing.
I know, right?
So the fucking Daughter of Andor wouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. I've developed a theory that the makers of this show do not like abrasive women.
So they
like women to be sad. They don't like them to be angry or pushy.
So they're taking the edges off of all the...
Because I was thinking about Swan, too. Swan is a completely different character.
True.
In the books, she's extremely pushy, extremely sharp-tongued. Everybody's like, she's so hard to deal with. That's kind of her thing. And she's also super intelligent, and that's how she's acquired all this power. In this, she's just sort of boring, right?
Yeah. And okay.
It's like they took her and they deleted the stuff about her that was interesting.
Yeah. So Nynaeve is also getting the soft treatment, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting. She's the most obvious one.
One great part, though, that I think we all appreciated was when Rand and Lan had their moment, you know?
That was nice.
The sword forms. They're like, oh, you used a sword form. Now you should use a different sword form, son. And let me fix your coat for you. I thought that was pretty cute.
Yeah, that was a nice moment. That was good. This, I always love that moment in the books when Rand is like, feels like the whole world is against him, and Lan is you know, getting a little bro fist.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Leandrin visited Moiraine's family, and I was like, ooh, are they going to do it? You know, after, you know, at the beginning of this episode, I was asking about them murdering Moiraine's family. I got so excited, but instead they just I guess, Jeff, you pointed out that Barthonas was a dark friend in the books.
Yeah, in the books, Barthonas was a dark friend, and they had to sneak into his party to get to the Waygate.
Right.
In this, Barthonas is just Moiraine's nephew, and also a dark friend.
And the most important part, he makes good sandwiches.
Oh, yes, and he makes great sandwiches.
It's like if you're like writing out his characters, like, you know, his character's traits, makes great sandwiches.
Well, how do you think he learned to make such good sandwiches?
From the dark one.
How do you get so good so fast? This is all the power of the dark side. Yeah, it's that, what the heck is, that's the end of the storyline? Is Leandrin comes in and says, hey, I'm activating you, you're a dark friend. And then his mom finds out and just has him arrested.
And maybe killed. I don't know. He's in prison now. So yeah. I don't know.
That's why we spent 6 episodes with Moraine's family.
Unclear. It didn't. Yeah, I know. It's a weird direction. I'll be happy if we never hear from them again, though. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah.
And Rand fixes Moraine's stilling.
Yeah. So we learned that Moiraine wasn't stilled.
Yeah. Shielded.
She was shielded with a tied off weave, which they were like, Lan was like, I've heard about this from the Age of Legend. Why did Lan know this? Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, really?
So Lan was like,
he probably found out when he was learning his poetry, okay? His fucking warrior poetry.
And then he was like, Rand, you're the only one who can do this. And here's how you do it with the weave.
And Lan's like, no, you're way too incompetent to actually undo this weave. So just make like a magic knife and cut it.
And the look on Moraine's face was priceless.
Yeah, I love that. That look is actually really good. Like, really? Cut it?
A knife? What? Hold up. But he does. Yeah, so I guess Moiraine wasn't stilled after all.
The whole time she just wasn't stilled.
Yeah.
She was shielded.
She was shielded.
Yes.
With a tied-off shield, and no one's ever heard of a tied-off weave before.
In 3,000 years.
And then he just fixed her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not understand why Moiraine is being such a dick to Lan this whole time. Yeah. And I guess now they're fixed because Lan has proven that he's useful.
Uh-huh.
But the whole point is that he's useful.
Always. Their arc has been very confusing. Hopefully from here on they're going to be like, okay, we're closer than ever and we can just see them be effective, which is what they're
like
cool.
I'm not even complaining, as I usually am, about how it differs from the book. I just don't understand what the point of that arc is. Did Moiraine learn that she has to depend on somebody else besides herself?
Maybe. She should have. I mean, like, I feel like that was something she already knew in the books, but yeah. I mean, drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perrin got to watch the Aiel do weird Aiel shit.
Yeah, the Giotto thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they beat the shit out of Avienda.
Yeah, that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Oh, also.
Avienda and Bane and Chiad so far are pretty good.
Yeah, I love the Aiel costumes. I think they look really good. I think they're like the whole thing with their like weaponry and stuff. It's like I think they nailed the Aiel actually.
Every
in
costume everywhere is amazing.
Yeah.
The stuff that Lanfear has been wearing.
Oh, she had another cool outfit.
Her
in this
sex
episode.
Dungeon outfit. Oh, with the like lace up boots. It's incredible.
She's like, how many sex dungeon outfits does she have? As many as she wants, right?
Yeah.
It's the world of dreams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked Ishmael's vest. I don't know. There's something about that. It's got like a lace up back for some reason. It's cool.
How would you do that? Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, sorry. You just the weave,
of
right?
Of course, yeah. Only the greatest masters of the One Power can wear a vest like that.
Because you have to do it, you know, you have to tie it up in the back when you can't see it. It's really hard to do that.
I guess he learned that when he wasn't busy whittling.
Right, yeah, so apparently he's a whittler.
Yeah. I don't understand what they're doing. Why? Okay, so he gets Mat High on ayahuasca, wizard ayahuasca or whatever. And then
he sees some visions. I did notice that he sees himself hanging. I don't know if this is like an actual future vision or if they're just doing a nod to the books. I don't know.
I thought he was gonna. Didn't Ishmael say something like it's gonna show you all your past, all of your lives, what everything adds up
well,
to?
Well, yes. And
so I guess the idea is like all of his lives, like he always has a bad relationship with his alcoholic mom.
I guess that seems to be the message, although I don't see. Well, I see how that works to Ishmael. Ishmael's point, and that's, you know, how he's recruiting Matt apparently, but that doesn't really make sense from like the story perspective, right? Like Matt, we know that Matt's past lives were, you know, as a general or various like commanders of battle, you know, I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was thinking probably what it was is they were going to have Ishmael. They were like, oh, he has to do something creepy, but like symbolic. And so they were going to have him do like puppets, like being puppeteer. Except they realized that was really creepy for an old man to be playing with puppets. Yeah, that like makes too sense. Creepy. So they're like, I guess we'll have you whittle instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, their huge budget for the show ran out like right before they got to like whatever he's going to be messing with his hands. And so yeah. Like, oh, give him a stick.
Give him a stick. I don't know.
Probably that actor like knows how to whittle. He's like, oh, I'll just whittle some shit.
Probably cool. Yeah, I like that actor. He's so good.
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
There's another thing that happened that I was a little confused by. So when Swan turns on Moiraine, she compels her with the yes. oaths.
She says, you swore an oath on the oath rod to obey me. So,
which is not one of the three oaths.
Yeah, that's definitely not. They've said the three oaths, and not one of them is I must obey Swan.
Was it part of that weird scene the first season when she was removed from the tower? Because there was a scene with the oath rod where it was like binding around her, remember? Because they were like finger banging each other's hands, like while the
I do not remember that. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I might have just forgotten, but I was surprised when Swan compelled Moiraine by force to close the Waygate. I was
like, just that's unnecessary cool. drama. Like the books had lots of drama in them already, even melodrama, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they just like deleted all that. And then just added in this kind of made-for-TV stuff. Yeah. Oh, the Swan and Moiraine. Oh, they used to be lovers. Now they're fighting each other. Now they're fighting each other because of their jobs. Like boring.
Yeah. To be honest, I like where we are now. I have no idea where they're going. Okay, they're going to Fall, right? So the end of this season has got to be Rand fighting Ishmael in the sky, right?
Like yeah, that's, with a fire sword. Or
with whatever. A fire sword. Everybody's or whatever.
Just going to Fall. So go down and Fall. I think they've done a good job with the Egwene and Rena stuff. So I really hope that Egwene just turns Rena inside out at some point. You know, just absolutely kills the hell out of her.
She literally said, I will kill you in this episode. So, like, hopefully she delivers on that,
that's
right?
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Good. It will be good to see that vindication. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see where we're going next.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I guess it's following the... This is what you do with shows like this. They had a high point in the mid... They put money into the first episode and like a midpoint episode and the last episode. So these were just sort of filler episodes.
So maybe this, so hopefully this next episode is going to be just like wild and awesome, right?
Right. Yeah. It's going to change our minds about the show.
This is going to be the action. It's going to be the big delivery.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
So that's it for this episode. Next time we're going to be back with episode 8, the final episode of season 2 of The Wheel of Time. I'm Jeff Lake. You can find me at jefflake.info.
I'm Alice Sullivan. That's Blue Bennett Cafe on Instagram.
I'm Michael Sparkman. I still don't have one of those.
If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please drop us a line at hello@armadillo.club.
We love hearing from you.
Please share us with anybody you think might like us. Please give us good reviews wherever you got this. Please find out how you can give us your dollars at armadillo.club. Please like us in real life.
We're just so likable.
Until next time.
The light illuminates.